Once again, for those of you that may be watching a brief excerpt on the Manifest Telecast, this is the International Prophetic Summit 2022. And my subject today is how to escape the coming tribulation, the coming great tribulation. Luke chapter 21, 34 through 36 says this, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And the day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Stand before the Son of Man for us would be the Bema. So pray that you'll escape what? The tribulation, and do what? Stand at the Bema. The Bema is Revelation 11, 18. That's when it happens. And it happens during the time of the tribulation. We'll be in heaven. Three questions I'm going to try to cover to the best of my ability with the Lord's help. Number one, what is the great tribulation? And the second thing I want to cover is, why does God allow it to occur? Which is a very good question that's seldom discussed. And the third thing I would like to answer is, who can escape it? Who will be involved in the ability to escape these things? There are five facts that all of you know, or most of you know. The first fact is this: biblical signs mentioned in the Old and New Testaments concerning the last days and the time of the end are being fulfilled. The second thing that most of you are aware of, if you follow our ministry, you will be aware of this, we teach it, is that the Bible predicts that there is a final generation in which a great tribulation will occur during that time frame, a 7-year time frame. The third thing that most of you are aware of that I want to remind you is the Bible predicts that in that 7 years will be cataclysmic, cosmic signs and disasters, along with natural disasters on the planet, that will create many, many deaths during that 7-year period of time, especially from the middle to the latter part. Then we have number four. The Bible definitely tells you that there will be people who will be able to escape that which is coming and to stand before the Lord. And the fifth thing I want to make you aware of is the Bible gives you several ways of knowing that you can be a person that will escape what is coming to pass upon the earth. Now, what is the great tribulation? Most of you would assume that I'm going to go to Matthew 24 and read, but I'm going to surprise some of you that have never heard this. Did you know that the tribulation is first mentioned in the Torah? Did you know it's mentioned in the five books of Moses? Did you know that's the first place that the word tribulation is mentioned? And it is a prophetic word about the tribulation which was coming. This is a little mind-blowing if you've never heard it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 through 31 says this: When thou art in tribulation, and all these things come upon thee, even in the latter days, if you will turn to the Lord your God, and thou shalt be obedient to his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, neither will he destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of the fathers which he swore unto you. Now please notice this. When you are in tribulation, there's the word. But when? In the latter days. There's the key. There's the word. There's the key. Now look at the word for a moment, latter days, or the phrase latter days. The phrase latter days is used in the Bible referring to the time of the Messiah's end time signs and the Antichrist and the beast kingdom rising and the tribulation period. It's used in the scripture that way. That word in the latter days is found 11 times, and it's used actually in the War of Gog and Magog. I'll be dealing with that later on. The War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 16. It is used extensively in the book of Daniel when Daniel is talking about Jerusalem and Israel and the Jewish people in the latter days when the final empire of prophecy has formed. So this is a phrase used in scripture. Now in the New Testament, that's 11 times that it's used, but in the New Testament it's used 5 times, and the 5 times it's used, it actually refers to the time period that is prior to the return of the Lord and the time frame prior to the tribulation period. So like in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh before the great and terrible day of the Lord. What's that mean? The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out before the tribulation comes. So these are some of the times that you will see the phrase latter days mentioned. But the word tribulation, it's a very interesting word because it's in the Old Testament, it has a specific meaning, and in the New Testament, it actually has several different meanings. For example, in the The word tribulation in the Hebrew actually means a tight place, and it means a stone pressed up against something so tight you can't get a knife between it. So it's a pressure point. It's pressure. It's tightness. And so that's kind of a definition. In the Greek, it actually has the meaning of being afflicted or having some type of an affliction. It means anguish, and it also simply means very serious trouble. Now, the word again is used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But in the New Testament, there are two types of tribulation. Number one, let's say John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. What does that word tribulation mean? It's not the great tribulation there. It means you're going to have tests, you're going to have trials, and in the context, you're going to suffer persecution for the name of the Lord. And he calls that tribulation. That's the word he uses. The great tribulation that we're discussing is Matthew chapter 24 and 21. And for there then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since there was a nation has begun or ever shall be. Daniel 12 mentions that as well. That tribulation is, again, you heard it for years, about a 7-year time frame. So when we talk about the word tribulation, it is in both Testaments. The word tribulations have basically the same meaning, but there is a tribulation of trials we all will go through from time to time. But then there's the great tribulation, which the book of Revelation identifies. Now, let me just say this briefly again to as we set the pace for this subject, and that is, where do we keep coming up with seven-year time frame? In the book of Daniel chapter 9 is the main reference, because in Daniel 9, it says 70 weeks are determined for your people. And then it gets down to 9 verse 27, and it says there is 1 week. Now, don't think of a week of days, because in the Hebrew, it's a week of years. So it's not 7 days, it's 7 years. That's where we first come up with seven. Then in Jeremiah, he says there's a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble was he worked 7 years for one wife, got the wrong one, and worked another seven. Can I be honest with you? What on earth did that woman look like? I mean, really, who would have the patience to work 7 years? I mean, after 7 years, it's kind of like, well, I got the wrong one, but you know, life's good anyhow. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, that's what most people would do. So Jacob's trouble was 7 years and 7 years. Now, if you think about it, and I'm off subject for a moment, but it's true. The Holocaust lasted from 1939 to 1945, 7 years. Rabbis say that was Jacob's trouble. And it was Israel's trouble. But then there's another period coming at the end. Why? Because Jacob had two periods of seven. You'll get it in a minute. So there was the Holocaust of 7 years. There comes a final one. And you can actually get into the story of Leah and Rachel. Oh, I'm getting sidetracked. Now help me, Lord. I've got to stay on subject. But you can get into the story of Rachel and Leah. And you can actually see in the sons that are born the tribulation out, the two time periods of Holocaust and tribulation at the end of days in those stories. And I wish I had time to get into that, but I really don't. So in other words, we go to the book of Revelation 42 months, we add that up, that's approximately 7 years. And there's so much teaching you could do from that, but we want to stay, like I said, on the subject of how to escape the coming great tribulation, because that's what we're dealing with. Now, when you begin to look at the scripture, you'll discover some things very interesting, and that is that in the Matthew chapter 24 scenario, what'll be the signs of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus gives them signs, and then he gets down there to Matthew 24, verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the nations throughout the world, of course, and then the end would come. Now, you think the story would stop right there. If I'm talking about the end of the conference, that'll be tomorrow, right? Well, this is the end of the conference. Then there's no more conference. It's the end. And you would think when Jesus said then the end would come, it means the end has come, the kingdom's come. It doesn't. Because then he goes in verse 15, the very next verse, and he talks about the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate. And then there shall be great tribulation. And he really then starts talking about the tribulation. So we have to understand, and this is a little nugget that I want to share with you very quickly, that we have to understand that the preaching of the gospel is the sign for the church that the end would come. Who preaches the gospel? Talk to me. The church. So we're in the dispensation of the grace of God, the mercy of God. We're in the dispensation of some call the church age, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. But when we're finished preaching the gospel, Then the end comes, not the end of the world, not the end that the tribulation is over, but the end of the dispensation of the grace of God that then leads to the wrath of God after the church is removed. Hello. Did you get it? So the end for us is when the gospel's reached the nations. And it has been doing that, by the way. And that's where you really need to clap and praise God, because the gospel, this program right now is going all over the world. And many other great programs, and many men and women of God as well, praise God. So that's a little bit about the tribulation. Now, a question that people often ask me, they say, you know, is God mad all the time? I mean, it's like, you know, when Christians talk about judgment's going to come if y'all do that, and judgment's going to come if you do that. And sinners are out there saying, y'all serve a God that really has some anger issues. I mean, really, if you hear it, you think God has anger issues. He's just mad at everybody. But that's not really true, because he's full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. And you need to thank God that he is. We all need to thank God that he is. But here's a point that I want to make. What I want to talk about is, what is the purpose of the tribulation? So instead of me going through long verses, I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and 26, it said that there would be one final shaking of the heavens and the earth. So that what can't be shaken would stand and remain. And that is a verse of what's coming in the future. Shaking of heavens, shaking of earth. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 9 says that the day of the Lord comes with great anger, that he may, listen to this, destroy the sinners out of the land. So this is a judgment not against the righteous, because we have been judged at the cross. Our sins were taken to the cross and judged. We've received the grace and mercy of God, so we are not appointed to wrath. Read the Bible. This is a judgment on the unbelievers and the sinners. The tribulation period is. And that's what Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah chapter 13. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11, the prophet Isaiah says this: God will come during this time we call tribulation and punish the world for its evil and wickedness and iniquity, to bring the proud down low. Isaiah 13, 13. Imagine, all these are taken from the book of Isaiah here, the past three scriptures I'm giving you. God will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of its place. Now, how does the planet, which is 25,000 miles in circumference, and it's sitting on nothing but the word of God holding it up, how is it shaken out of its place? It's my opinion that the asteroid strike that you read about called Wormwood, that pollutes the water in the future, is going to hit with such impact that it literally affects somehow the planet, the tilting of the planet or the shaking of the planet. It will shake the entire. Now remember this, it says there's an earthquake so great that the cities of the nations fell. Now, how do you have an earthquake that all the cities of the nations start falling at one time? You do it by an asteroid strike. So see, when you look at what we now know about the cosmic signs, the falling stars, the asteroids, the earthquake, the tsunamis, and you go to the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, it all suddenly starts making sense of how these judgments will produce what you see taking place on the earth. But the judgments are actually natural disasters God is allowing to occur, or cosmic activity that God is allowing to occur to fulfill that which he has spoken. Now, Jesus said this, that who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. In Jerusalem, for example, they stoned the prophets that God sent. And later, after they killed them all, they built sepulchers to them and whitewashed them and bragged on how great they were. I mean, imagine this. Jesus even said, your children, your ancestors killed the prophets, and now you're running around and honoring them. I don't mean this to say it this way, and this is not the right place to insert this, but I had Steve Muncy told me one time. He said, I don't know of anybody who's written more books, did a study Bible. And he said, here's how it's going to be with you. They're going to all love you when you're dead. I said, no, they won't either. He said, oh, no. No, after you're dead and you're dead about 10 years of the Lord's tarry, they're going to say, well, you know, that Perry Stone really was a good guy, wasn't he? You know, that's when you're going to get your respect, is when you're dead. Well, that's what happened to these men in the Bible. They didn't get respect while they were living. They were, you know, Jeremiah, they would kill him. We don't like what he's saying. And Isaiah gets sawn in a log. And next thing you know, they're there in Jesus' day. Oh, the great prophet Isaiah, the great prophet Jeremiah. And it was their ancestors that had them all killed. And that's the reason why Matthew 23, if you'll read it, that Jesus said, on this city is coming destruction because of the innocent blood you shed of the righteous. Is everybody listening to that? So Jesus said to them, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, you better flee to the mountains and get out, because there will be great distress that will be taking place at that time. One of the things, however, when Jesus said to flee can mean to run away quickly. And I like it in Greek. And this is funny. It also means to vanish. So in other words, there'll be a group that will be running, and there'll be a group that'll be vanishing. Some of you will get that in just a minute when all this is about to break out. Now, when it comes to this whole concept, this is the part that a lot of people may not put together, but I want you to put together about the tribulation itself. Because in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and there's other places, the angel of God came to him and said, what's going to happen in the future is about Israel, Jerusalem, and your people. And those would be the Jewish people. And the prophet is told several times that everything that God's revealing to him about the last days, this beast kingdom, is about Israel and about Jerusalem and the Jewish people. And let me just say this, that one of the reasons that it is, there's so much mention there, and this is something that really a lot of people do overlook, is because Paul wrote in Romans 11 that blindness would happen to the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then God would turn his attention to open the eyes of the natural seed of Abraham, which would be Israel, where all Israel would be saved. And I think you know this, that some of the tribulation period emphasis in the Middle Eastern area and the area of Jerusalem, because the Antichrist does overtake Jerusalem for the last 42 months and makes his headquarters there, is about Israel being saved. So in other words, there seems to be, in the concept of when I talk about the Great Tribulation, we all focus on the judgments because that's what you see the most of. But you have to understand that out of any chastisement, out of any kind of judgment, God always has a positive purpose for it. It is not about destruction. Are you listening, somebody? What is it about? It's about, in this case, to get the attention of his people, the chosen ones, the ones that were chosen through Abraham to take the land, and for them to come to the knowledge, complete, total knowledge of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah did for them. That's a good place to clap your hands and say, amen, praise the Lord, because there is something that comes out of it. To prove to you that Jerusalem and Israel is connected, let's look at these scriptures. This is Daniel chapter 9, 27. The last 7 years are for your people and for the holy city. That's the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Daniel 10 and verse 14 says this, I want to tell you, Daniel, this is an angel speaking, what will befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days. And then he says this in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the day is great and there's none like it. It is the time of Jacob. That's Israel, by the way. That's the name Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. So the center of all activity, now this is important you hear this, the center of all activity at the time of the end is going to center around, I've got to preface this. You do know that America was not known in the Bible time. You know, we the land was here, and there were First Nations people probably here that came through the Bering Strait or even different ways. But in our day, what was known was what we would call the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. That was the central part of the world back then. There were islands, and of course, there was China, and those nations existed. But the thing I want to point out to you is that when you study prophecy, a lot of the activity that you read about, like your coalitions, your kings of the East, the 10 kings of the Antichrist, and all these other coalitions are Middle Eastern. Africa, Middle East, very strong Northern Africa, and also what we call Turkey, Asia, edge of Russia, Ukraine. All of these nations are a real big part of what you will read about. If you take the book of Daniel, King of the South, King of the North, Kings of the East, Book of Revelation, and you don't see the West mentioned, is my point. So you don't see the West mentioned in prophecy, although you know that the West exists and it has to be there somewhere. So you don't, people often ask me, where's America? Where's this? Where's that? It doesn't specifically say where that is. So having said that, remember that that will be a center of the activity. Now, we've discussed for a moment a little bit about what is the tribulation, showing you that it originates in the Torah, actually, not just the New Testament. But the question that we want to get into, oh, praise God, and this is a good question, is a question that I get a lot over the years. My number one question prophetically is always this: when's the rapture? I have an answer. I ain't God. Okay, so you might as well not even ask me that, because if no man knows the day or the hour, I am a man. I know what I am. I'm a man. I'm a man. Just wanted to say that for those who might be watching that may not know, I am a man. And no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So let me just save you some money. Don't be buying books where people have a revelation of the day and hour Jesus is coming. Because they don't. Now, I love what Mark says. We can know the signs and seasons. We can know the times. We are not in darkness, Paul said, that the day overtakes us unaware. But for us to try to say we figured it out, no one can figure this out. And that's what Jesus said. So I'm not going to answer when he's coming. Well, you know what? I do have a revelation. You ready? I'm going to tell you. I will tell you when he's coming. Are you ready? Say 1, 2, 3. In the day and hour that you think not. I'm in the Bible, folks. I'm in the Bible right now.
Never has a gathering of five of America's preeminent prophetic voices been more timely than at the 2022 International Prophetic Summit. The 12 new unedited messages are now available to the Manifest TV audience. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn presented an urgent harbinger update. Bill Cloud gave major warnings with his messages facing today's giants: The Tale of Two Ships, America's Warning, and the message, The Ordeal of Jealousy, The Trial of Bitter Waters. As always, Mark Biltz amazed the attendees with his insightful prophetic teachings. Are we to know the times and seasons? And better not press the snooze button. Rabbi Kurt Landry shared a powerful revelation on the Cyrus Key of overcoming today's cancel culture. Perry preached five new messages, including the coming apocalyptic food shortages, 7 years in heaven, three things that I fear, and how to escape the coming great tribulation. Also, thousands have requested that Perry explain the war of Gog and Magog, which he did in his detailed teaching, the four Ezekiel prophecies about to happen. He concluded the conference with a revelation on end-time spiritual warfare entitled, I Saw Satan's Coming Assaults, The War Room of Darkness. To receive the 12 audio CD album, request offer number 22PS-CD and include a gift of $55 or more. The 12 DVD album includes scriptures and PowerPoint presentations from the teachings and is available for a donation of $95 or more. Just ask for offer number 22PS-DVD. The messages are also available digitally on demand at perrystone.tv. We are in a battle for freedom to release prophetic truth, and these messages are 12 eye-opening revelations with new insight that the adversary would prefer you never hear. Order today by calling toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or at perrystone.org. If you prefer, you may send a check with the offer number to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. These teachings will inform you, reveal what is coming soon, and help equip you to prepare for the upcoming big events.
Hey folks, thank you for joining me today. Now listen, I'm telling you, you have to absolutely get the Prophetic Summit DVDs or CDs. Now here's the reason why. My teaching, you're getting about 21 minutes, and I hate to say this, but the real meat starts about 25 minutes for the next 60 to 70 minutes. I'm talking about the depth of it. You're just basically getting the introduction. So the albums are available. We want to get yours to you as fast as we can. So call the 888-21-BREAD number or go online at perrystone.org. And let me say this, you help keep Manifest on the air with your purchase of this material. And I thank you so much for that. Well, we've been doing some YouTube videos on the Perry Stone YouTube channel. So this one's coming out, probably already out right now, and you can watch that. But here's what I want to tell you. We're going to be at the main event. This is the big camp meeting, the granddaddy of the camp meetings. We've had it since 1987, I believe. And it's the Omega Center International, Cleveland, Tennessee, October 4th through the 8th. Pam's Fall Festival will be in the afternoon on Saturday, beginning at 12 noon in Cleveland, Tennessee. Drive up and be a part of this. Then I'm coming to Abundant Life Christian Center in Lamarck, Texas with my dear friend, Pastor Walter Hallam, October 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And information is on our website at perrystone.org. And then we're going to come to Upper Room Revival Center, Mark Gilbert, and that's going to be in Corbin, Kentucky, all day Sunday, and that'll be November the 6th. Write that down now. And then we're coming to Kings Springfield, the great church there, with Janelle Morocco on November 11th, 12th, and 13th, Springfield, Missouri. I've never preached in Springfield in 46 years. Everybody in Springfield that watches me, I'm expecting to see you in that great meeting there in Springfield. And then just so that you'll know, all you folks that live in Hawaii, Pam and I will be coming to Josh Morocco's church in Honolulu, February 5th through the 8th, and then King's Cathedral in Maui, Pastor James Morocco there in February the 19th through the 22nd. And so all of that information is at the perrystone.org website. Now don't forget, stay in touch with us through perrystone.org, through the Perry Stone YouTube channel, through the Perry Stone Ministries. You got to put that in their Facebook page. And also join me on prayer on Thursday, the Tuesday night service with Dr. Brian Cutshaw. We preach occasionally at Ramp Cleveland, and we've got great things happening in the future, and we want you to be a part. God bless you.
Join Perry and Pam Stone October 4th through 8th as they host the 35th annual Main Event Camp Meeting Celebration at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. This year's celebration features anointed worship from Karen Peck and New River, the Neelands, and Lyndall Cooley, with powerful preaching from Perry Stone, Tony Scott, Tommy Bates, and Ron Carpenter. The celebration continues on the Omega Ranch with loads of fun for everyone at Pam's Fall Festival. This is a free event, but you must register online. Go to perrystone.org for registration and more information. Be refreshed, renewed, and recharged at the 2022 Main Event Camp Meeting Celebration. Register now.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2022 Israel Tour. The dates are November 20th through the 29th, with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.